to mention that my talk is not going to be talking about any specific aspect of soil process or functions, as this diagram shows there are a wide spectrum of possibilities you can talk about. But what I want to get to is hopefully the bottom of that issue. Actually, kind of tie nicely to the previous talk Dave mentioned about the maturity of the soil. So, going beyond the specific phenomenon, I wondered about oftentimes that, like this nice set of photos and ecosystems illustrated, what's oftentimes neglected or hidden from us are the invisible changes, the internal changes, and oftentimes slow changes or evolutionary changes. So that's the message I try to get to, reflected in this kind of general principles that will guide our analysis of data or design of long-term data collections, and to understand the evolutionary history of the soil, some fast, some slow. So here we are talking about both the conservation of mass energy, but also the evolutionary or accumulation of the internal changes or architecture and the information recorded in the soil. And also, not just the dissipation of energy, but also the self-organization of internal soil profile structures. And then also, not just instantaneous changes in terms of the rates of change, but also how that change accumulated over time, that is reflected in a time integration instead of differentiation. So that's kind of the message I hope to illustrate through this presentation. So start off this kind of sketch showing you the intimate link between the visible changes and invisible changes, where you see the upper part kind of fast cyclic changes, kind of actors and reactors, involving just all phases of soil, but mostly liquid phase, gaseous phase, and biota. But simultaneously, oftentimes, that is not well captured, but ought to be considered in the context of sustainability, is the lower part of it. That is the slow cumulative changes, like a recorder, okay? And that's reflected in the soil profile architecture and then the solid part and mineralogy and all that kind of stuff that are related to soil architecture. Obviously, the two are linked in terms of feedbacks. But one key message in that kind of trajectory of time is the, instead of just complete closure in our models that we talk about all the time, is incomplete closure and also partial irreversibility of many seemingly cyclic processes that are happening inside our soil profiles that have been accumulated or recorded in the soil over time that ends up the kind of soil we see now in terms of structured, informative system that has a lot of stories we can tell, but a lot of implications for appropriate use and sustainable management of that. So just a quick couple of illustrations of what I mean by the internal architecture of the soil and invisible changes. So here's commonly seen type of soil map in our Shell Hills Critical Zone Observatories with five dominant soil types mapped. If you look at what's going on inside the catchment, this is the forest catchment, in terms of soil moisture dynamics, here's a kind of animation of the actual soil moisture data we recorded over the years in terms of how the catchment wets up, dries down, a lot of changing fast cyclic type of changes. But that has a lot of implications in terms of hidden part of change that goes beyond the just kind of daily, yearly type of dynamics that is reflected in the soil internal architecture and how that will evolve with this kind of hydrological dynamics. So this kind of link the slow change in the background and the fast change in the foreground, and they are intimately linked. So this landscape scale soil architecture. Now I'm showing you the typical soil core type of architecture, again reflecting oftentimes internal stuff that is profoundly important in all the functions and processes we are talking about, as well as the invisible part that we oftentimes forget to pay close enough attention to how we can sustain. Like soil carbon, very critical, but implication of that and many other properties of soil is the internal dynamics and evolutionary changes going on in the soil. So this kind of internal architecture is profoundly important, but obviously very complex and not easy to quantify. So that's why I'm using the visualization instead of numbers, instead of porosity distribution, in terms of pore size distribution, all that. I'm showing you this 7.5 centimeter high and 5 centimeter wide diameter typical soil core that we use for measuring KSAT, measuring bulk density, measuring the basic soil properties with without disturbing this internal architecture. But if you're talking about hydrological, biogeochemical dynamics and root processes and plant growth, microbial dynamics around the roots, away from the roots, you can see that there are a lot of complexity that oftentimes is hard to be captured, obviously, but not enough attention paying to. That's why we ignore it or get bogged down by the superficial phenomena rather than the fundamental controls of that. So we are now flying into a root channel and just seeing kind of a complexity inside this small soil sample as an illustration. And you can imagine how the water nutrients will move through and microbial will distribute along that kind of root channel. So it's very complex, right? So now I'm going to build on that kind of quick illustrations in the understanding of soil internal structure. So build upon that, let's look at the ecosystems. So here is a spectrum of things from the left to the right, from non-living stuff to the living stuff to the right. But soil falls right in the middle of this spectrum. That is the most complex biomaterials on the planet, as Yin Yang and John Crawford indicated in their well-cited paper in Science. But what I'd like to draw your attention to in this slide is not the kind of reddish colors, okay, that related to emotional, dissipational energy forces in external stuff, but rather it's these kind of blue-greenish color that I label as the internal force, internal energy, that are oftentimes related to creating, organizing type of stuff. So then at the bottom of this diagram, it shows that when we try to understand these living or semi-living systems like soils, we not only need to pay attention to the conservation of energy and mass, we really have to take closer attention to the second part of that, that is accumulation of structure and information. So for example, soil fertility is very unique for all the life to survive and to grow in soils. But we cannot just talk about nutrients. We have to look at the environment and in which the nutrients are being utilized least by soils and utilized by microbes or plants. So we have to also look at water, air, carbon, heat, all these kind of things. But even that is not enough. Those are all controlled by the internal organization of the soil. And so what do I mean by that? So just elaborate a little bit further. I already explained that fast versus slow changes. But also look at the forcing, adding on the ecosystems or soils underneath the canopy. We are seeing two categories of forcing, upward force, like photosynthesis, set flow, soil aggregation, hydrological uplift by roots, but also the downward forcing, adding towards the lower part of soil. We are talking about decomposition, talk about metabolism, soil dispersion, and weathering. So they are kind of adding on the soil system over time and in a very dynamic, complex way. So that's why you have this third curve showing the evolutionary trajectory, comparing the physical versus biological part of the system. So if you're looking at the six physical system that we are taught in schools traditional way, is that the complexity or internal structure doesn't really change a whole lot like a computer. You don't want that to change over time internally. But the function would go down over time. But if we look at the biological system that we are talking about, soils and plants, they have very different trajectory in terms of its internal change. of the complexity going more and more complex over time, but the function has this kind of the growth period and stabilize or mature and then degrade in the end. And then that's related to the temperature or the thermal energy of the system, where you're looking at very different functions in terms of the biological versus the non-biological stuff. The red curve shows the physical activities. As temperature goes up, you can imagine that thermal energy gives you more agitation and therefore more activities. But biologically speaking, it's quite a different picture. You see this kind of frozen and then real comfort zone for biological world, and then the dead zone in terms of going certain going over certain threshold values. So that's how we should be understanding soil internal functions, internal changes. And that's why I wonder about a few more kind of governing principles in terms of understanding of soil systems. So this just kind of busy slide, I don't expect to read this, but wanted to illustrate that what we are told in schools oftentimes is very classical, but not really addressing the real world complexity. So I'm illustrating here Newton's three laws in terms of applying that to understand soil processes, functions, soil changes. They are not really applicable. And what I mean by that could be, well, if you are interested in that, you can read that article just coming out in Triple AJ. But I want to just illustrate third Newton's law in terms of, for every action, there's an opposite equal reaction. But that's okay for the machines, but not for ecosystems like soils and plants. In the biological world, we are really talking about for every action, there's an opposite correct, but not necessarily equal reaction. Because of self-organization, internal decision whether to respond or not to respond, and how you adjust yourself in order to survive or to adapt yourself to the challenging real world. So that's why I'm talking about here the external versus internal changes. So the classical physics have emphasized changes in terms of external stuff that we can see, like motions, deformation, but the extent and structure of the body is neglected in the evaluation of the motion. So consequently, classical physics has encountered significant constraints in explaining life-related phenomena, where the changes in internal narrative of the system are essential. This would include internal adjustment, self-organization, growth, reproduction, evolution, choice, creativity, all that kind of good stuff related to life. Indeed, Darwin's evolutionary theory of species is linked to the internal adjustments or resilience or genetic modifications within the organisms in order to survive in the face of change or threats. And therefore, the bottom equation is really what I try to suggest when we talk about soil change, ecosystem change. We have to think about this delicate trade-off or balance between the external goods and services provided by soils versus internal order information recorded or reserved or protected or developed over time in order to sustain the services of soil and ecosystems. And so we have, therefore, information plus organization need to be really highlighted better in not just the external work of services. And so how do we address that? I'm not going to get into details in the interest of time. So besides the lower portion of this part of energy mass, we do need to continue to monitor and understand. We had to look at the upper part in terms of time-related accumulated evolutionary change related to how the energy is being desiccated and organized in terms of entropy and information. And that dictates how the critical zone functions or the internal system to be further understood. So again, a busy slide, but I don't expect you to get bogged down with details. But rather, the general idea here is that when you look at the catchment or whatever critical zone system you try to understand, you have two parts of the changes you need to look at. One is the external changes. So here's sigma is basically the entropy budget of the ecosystem or watershed. You have the internal and external one. So external one is what we oftentimes monitor through the adding power and other things in terms of energy coming in and out. But what is oftentimes neglected or very challenging, I have to admit that that's what we need to pay more attention to and figure out how to do better, the internal changes going on inside the solar system. And that includes biogeochemical dynamics, gravity, pools, and all the other forces going on inside the system. Just quickly illustrate what I mean by that. So here we see this kind of energy budget monitoring across the globe. And so we are really talking about external inputs and back to the space or the air. So energy budget that we have collected tremendous data. And so that's where understood. And go beyond that is what that means. Is what I'm trying to highlight here. So if you look at the entropy budget, for example, for the three pairs of ecosystems I showed in the previous slide, in terms of how much energy being utilized producing entropy, the entropy coming into the system and being released back to the environment. So you look at that ratio, and for the three pairs of ecosystems from Canada to Arizona, and you can see that red dashed line is being balanced. Okay, but above it, meaning that the system releases a lot more entropy than the entropy gets into the system. In other words, you have negative budget. And you can see that it's universal phenomenon that we have to understand better what that means in terms of internal kind of process going on in the soils and ecosystems. Again, busy slide, I don't expect you to read the details, but rather to give you a sense that now, internal change is very difficult to monitor, to understand, but that's the heart of the complexity we had to address better. So consequently, non-equilibrium thermodynamics and equilibrium thermodynamics in particular have tried to understand the macroscopic energy consumption versus the internal dynamics through the microscopic relationship between the thermodynamic entropy and the kind of informational entropy. But what we oftentimes need to understand better is the macroscopic organization, either soil profile or catchment or vegetation, how that is linked to the energy dissipation and how it's related to the information in the system. So that's the difficult but challenging part. So let me wrap up what I tried to convey to you in this presentation. Really, we are talking about a new worldview of the soil, getting to the title, in the end, it's the conclusion. So we have this classical Newtonian worldview about machines, and we have Darwinian worldview in terms of living systems. And what we really ought to be thinking more beyond these two classical worldviews is the integration or holistic view of the system. And both classical views are still valid. I'm not ruling out. They are still valid, but they are insufficient to capture the overall system, the complexity we talk about, particularly in the age of sustainability. We really have to talk about holistic way and co-evolution in terms of the lot of things going on, including human impacts. And so my message really is that we need to understand the silent soil change, that is hidden or invisible, internal and evolutionary. And the implication of that, just very briefly, is that we have a lot of grand challenges that we are still putting a lot of efforts trying to understand. And that's illustrated here in terms of spatial scaling from the microscopic to the global, and the temporal evolution from the past to the present in the middle and to the future. And also above ground and below ground relationship. And then within the soil or ecosystem, we are talking about physical, chemical, biological processes, how they are coupled, and the biotic and abiotic interfaces. Remember that earlier slide I showed the spectrum of things from non-living to living soil is right in the middle. So soil is the bridge of non-living or life versus non-life. It's very profound in that sense if we dive into that. And then integration of human and natural processes. The implications is profound. I won't have time to get into the details in terms of how we use the land, how we understand the hydrological dynamics and hazards and different kind of risks. Yeah, that's going on in terms of exponential increase from the earlier 19th century up to now. There are different kind of hazards, natural or man-made hazards. And then eventually the sustainability of the land we try to depend on. So they're all integrated. They are all linked. So with that, I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Henry. May I ask you a question?
Sure. Be happy to try to answer.
Is your visualization online of the soil core?
This is being recorded, so it should be visible.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks very much for coming.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.